Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, and before I get into the word tonight, I just want to take a second and say thank you. Thank you for being here tonight. Look at this room full of adults. And outside of here, children fill this house, and I'm so grateful for that. You can give God praise for that. But this group of people makes this church so strong. You add so much value to the church, and I appreciate more than I can ever tell you the time you take to be here. Some of you drive more than 45 minutes on a Wednesday night to come here. You get out of work, maybe you don't even get to go eat, but you want to be here to hear God's word. And that puts a little bit of pressure on me. I'll be honest, but at the same time, I love seeing you and spending time with you. And we never want to waste your time. We always want to build you up and empower you because God has called you not to make a living, but to make a difference. And you are so valuable to the kingdom of God. I cannot say that enough. And I thank God for the influence he's given each of you and the privilege we have of using our influence to build the kingdom for his glory. Can we give God praise for that tonight? If you have a Bible tonight, let's go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Was anybody a teenager or a child in the 90s? Just raise your hand. Teenager or child in the 90s. Y'all might remember a group called CNC Music Factory. I've got the power. Get it. Gotta have it, right? I've got the power. That's gonna just burrow in your head all night long now. But tonight I want to talk to you about that. Somebody say, I've got the power. Tell your neighbor you've got the power. See, here's what I want you to see tonight. When Jesus left this earth, this is a myth. This is something that has crept into the church at large that we want to destroy. Obviously, Victory Church is called Victory for a reason. We believe you can have victory, not just when you get to heaven, but on this side of heaven. And so I believe some of you have begun walking in a greater measure of victory just since coming here. And it's part of the anointing and the mandate God has put on us that through the message he gives us to share with people that they walk in victory, which means they're no longer defeated. I thank God I used to live a defeated life, but now I get to walk in victory because of what I've received and had revealed to me in the word of God. It empowers me to win with Christ. But when Jesus left the earth, he didn't leave us here powerless to struggle through life. He did not leave believers here to barely scrape their way through life and barely scratch their way into heaven. And some people you talk to, all they ever do is magnify the devil, magnify their sorrows, magnify their troubles, magnify their sicknesses. The only thing they ever talk about is loss. The only thing they ever talk about is defeat. And I come to tell you tonight that there is victory in Jesus' name. And you can not only talk about it, but you can walk in that every single day of your life. Jesus wants more for you than for you to live your life on this earth on the corner of just making it and barely getting by. He wants you to move up to victory lane in Jesus' name. He's got a place for you in the name of Jesus. He has appointed you. He has anointed you. He has equipped you and he has called you. And when you come into relationship with Jesus Christ, he said it's your Father in heaven's good pleasure to give you the kingdom of God. You are wealthier than you could ever imagine. And I'm not just talking about earthly resources. I'm talking about never lacking or being insufficient in any area of your life, but being able to fully meet whatever challenge you face. We serve a God who empowered and equipped you not to come to him and whine about your mountains, but to go to your mountain and prophesy to it the size of your God. See, there's a difference in that. There's a difference in that message. There's a difference in the way we present that. That's actually what Jesus said that we would do. And so I want to say to you tonight that you don't have to live a weak, defeated life, vulnerable to every attack of Satan every time he feels like devouring you. And that's the way many believers feel. They feel like I'm open to attack and there's nothing I can do about it. Que sera, sera. Whatever will be, will be. I'll float down the river of life and whatever comes my way is what I'll take. But I come to tell you the kingdom of God suffers violence and the violent people take hold of it by force. You have to seize the kingdom of God. You have to press into the kingdom of God. You have to seek the kingdom of God. You have to be hungry for the kingdom of God. You've got to knock to get into the kingdom of God. You've got to come and ask with petitions and request when it comes to the things of the kingdom of God. It is a available, all of it. It is yes and amen, but none of it is automatic. So I must then press into and access what is rightfully mine through the blood of Jesus Christ by coming to God in faith, not in fear, not in doubt, not wavering, not impaired by insecurity in my life, but with a boldness in my heart that says, you made me your child, not because I deserve it, but because of what you've done for me. And so I put unworthiness behind me. I put those things behind me that have held me back. And I say, I believe whatever it is you say about me. Amen. Amen. That's right. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Here's what it says. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And let me stop for just a second. Marsha stacked the wood and called down the fire Sunday morning. I mean, that girl tore it up. There wasn't a man left in the Bible by the time she was done. And that message is so necessary, and every single woman ought to hear the message she preached Sunday. Because for so long, women have been so limited. And that's just ridiculousness. Amen? We believe in order. And we preach the Bible from cover to cover, but you got to understand what it really says, because devil even uses the word of God to keep people from fulfilling their purpose. I don't know about you, but that just blessed me Sunday. Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me say something else right there. You know, I'm just going to open up and tell you some stuff, because I don't always do that and I ought to do a better job at it. Every time she preaches, she comes under so much attack, I can't even tell you. I mean, Thursday night, it gets to the point where it's laughable, but it's not funny because it always brings pain. Thursday night, it started. I mean, that fast, like somebody flipped a switch. Every single time she preaches. And I just said to her, I said, babe, are you anointed and are you called to preach? Because only you can answer that. And she said, yeah. All right. I said, then fight back. Amen. Amen. Don't roll over. It's just saber rattling. You know, the devil's just like Kim Jong-un. I got a big nuke, and I'm going to use it. Well, big stinking deal, you loser. Right? We got a bigger one. Amen? He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So anyway, my point to you is that she, every time she takes a step forward, takes a step up, I ask her to do something, it comes with a huge price tag. This side of ministry people don't ever see or think about. If you're going to do anything for God, it's going to cost you. And this is what I hear people say to me. Well, I gave my heart to Jesus and things got worse. Oh, really? You're on the right track. You're called to a battle. He didn't say get your Nikes on, get you some nice little Under Armour tennis shorts. Get you a tank top. No, he said, I want you to put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Amen. That's what you've been called to. You've got an enemy and you got to start living like it. Amen. But victory is already ours. All right, let's go back to the scripture. Y'all are distracting me. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ who has, past tense, blessed us. Already done with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in who? In Christ, everything in my life hinges on that. Somebody say, I've got the power. Question, does the devil have power over you or do you have power over him? Okay, let's get into that. Because you might answer, we do, but then how many areas of our life are we allowing Satan to knock us around and devour us? Whether it's our marriage, our family, our finances, our children, our health, in one way or another, we felt like we had no authority. And I just want to say to you tonight, Satan cannot steal, kill, and destroy anytime he feels like it. You have to build a hedge. God created a garden and he put man in it and he told him to tend and keep it. Literally, the definition of that word in Hebrew is to hedge it about. It was his job to build a wall. It was his job to protect it. Come on, we've got to raise a prayer covering. We've got to be the people who are the standard bearers. We've got to be the ones who are going out in the power of God and holding the forces of darkness at bay, because last time I checked, every time lightness comes, dark leaves. Luke 10:19, behold, I give you the authority. Somebody say, I have authority. to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Jesus is telling this to people. He had just empowered the 70 to go out to heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, minister to those, and bring freedom to those who are bound by demons. They come back full of joy. They come back excited. They start telling Jesus about it. He said, nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now, he's not talking about going down to Clyde Peeling's reptile land and walking among snakes. He's talking and referring to in serpents and scorpions, what was the image or the appearance of Satan in the Garden of Eden? Serpent, okay? Poisonous things, deadly things. He's talking about demonic spirits and Satan's attack against your life, but he promises that nothing shall by any means hurt us. However, Satan is a liar. Somebody say Satan is a liar. That might be the biggest revelation of the night, and yet it's so simple, but we act so surprised when we get lied to and believed it. Satan is a liar. Look at your neighbor and tell him the devil is a liar. And what he wants to do is he wants to deceive you into thinking that he still has control, that he still has authority, that he still has dominion over your life. He doesn't want you to realize who you are and what you have in Christ, because in Christ we win and he loses. And so he is scared to death of you finding out who you really are. And so he does everything he can to keep you blinded, to keep you out of God's house on Sundays when you know you ought to be here, to keep you out of the Word every day you know you ought to be in it, to keep you out of the prayer closet and spending time with him. Why? Because he knows that that is a source of power for you and that you will draw something from there that you can't find anywhere else. He's fine with you going anywhere else, but he doesn't want you anywhere near those three things. And let me add to that other believers of like precious faith that are anointed and spirit-filled and make your baby leap. He doesn't want you around them because when two or three come together in his name, he shows up. Amen? Okay? In Christ we win. Now, if he can keep you from those things, he can keep you from what's rightfully yours. So the first thing I want you to understand tonight is your authority. And to understand your authority, you must realize you have a new position in life. You literally have a new address spiritually. You know, my address is 630 Windfall Road, Canton, Pennsylvania, 17724, right? Yours is 254 Ayers Road, Canton, Pennsylvania, 17724, right? That's my physical address, but I have a spiritual address. Let's go to verse 19 and look at what it says in your Bible. Ephesians 1:19, it says, Paul is praying for the church at Ephesus. Here's his prayer for them. He prays that they would know what is the exceeding greatness of God's power towards those who believe. Are there any believers in the house? Okay, so God's power is at work in you right now. Don't stifle it. According to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him or Jesus from the dead and seated Jesus at his right hand in the heavenly places. So he says the same power that raised Jesus from the dead and put him in an elevator and lifted him into the throne room of God and seated him in victory at the Father's right hand is the same power at work in every believer right now. Your chest ought to be puffing out. Verse 21, far above all principality, far above, far above, far above, not just beside, not just above, far above all, not some of them, not most of them, not a few of them, all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under Jesus' feet and gave Jesus to be the head over all things to the church. Who is the head of the church? Who is the head of the church? Which is his body. Who is Jesus' body? Who is Jesus' body? Who is Jesus' body? I'm glad you're saying the church, but who's the church? Somebody say, I am. Also, don't say we are, because that's somebody else. I want you. Don't say, I want you, right? Say, I am the church. Say, I am a part of the body of Christ. He says the fullness of him who fills all in all. Question, is your head connected to your body tonight? Try it again. I know, this is ridiculous. Everything I've said, right? It depends who you ask. Is your head connected to your body tonight? You positive? Check it. Okay, we're good? I'll lay hands on you if it's not. Is your head connected to your body tonight? Is the same blood that flows through your head flowing through your body? Same electrical impulses flowing through your head, flowing through your body? The thoughts that cross your mind do they determine what the rest of your body does? Some voluntary, some involuntary, correct? My heart beats, but I don't have to go beat, 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 beat. Hey, beat again. I breathe, but I don't have to go, don't forget to breathe. Mental note, breathe. So, Paul said, some of us. That's what a BiPAP is for. Right? But my head and my body are connected. Okay? Correct? Same life in the head is in my body. Same energy in my head is in my body. They're connected. They're attached. There's a oneness there. The same power in the head is in the body. The same power in the head is in the body. The same power in the head is in the body. The same power in your head is in your body. The same power in the head of the church is in the body of the church. The same power in the head of the church is in the body of the church. The same power in the head of the church, Jesus Christ, flows through the body of his church. That's you and that's me. Same power that's in the head of the church, Jesus Christ, flows through the body of the church. That's you and me. Same power that flows through the head of the church, Jesus Christ, flows through the body of the church. That's you and me. Somebody say, I have the power. So when you pray, the same power in Jesus is now flowing through you. When I lay hands on somebody, look out. The same power in the head is flowing through these hands. The same thoughts in the head are commanding my body. Every day I lay down my body as a living sacrifice on the altar of Jesus Christ, Romans 12:1. As a living sacrifice, I lay down my life and I say, God, use me for something great today. God, take everything we do, take everything we've done, multiply it and add exponential increase to the work of my hands today, that the kingdom might be expanded and that you might be glorified. The same power in the head is the same power flowing through the body. That means whenever I speak, the same authority in the one who calmed the wind and waves with his word is flowing out of my mouth. That means that when I act, I'm not acting in my own authority, but I'm acting in the authority of my head, King Jesus. The same power in him is the same power that's flowing through you and me. Can you say amen tonight? Now that ought to be a revelation for some of you that ought to create tremendous boldness in your life. You've got to stop living and acting and thinking like I'm powerless. Somebody say, I've got the power. Now look down at chapter 2, verse 1. It says this, and you he made alive who are dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world. That's a whole nother sermon. Trespasses and sins are behind me. I'm not still living in them and clinging to Christ at the same time. I didn't say you don't mess up from time to time, but the Bible says in Timothy, he who calls on the name of Christ, he who names the name of the Lord should depart from iniquity. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, verse 3, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. Verse 4, but God, thank God for that but God who is rich in mercy because of his great what? Because of his great what? With which he loved us. He doesn't just have it, he used it. Verse 5, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive. What's that word? Together with Christ. For by grace you have been saved. Verse 6, and raised us up. What's that T word? Together. Raised us up what? Together. And made us sit where? Together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Notice where you are seated now as a born-again believer. It's not some steps towards heaven, not some stairway to heaven, unlike what Led Zeppelin talked about, that you've got to climb to get there. You are there the moment you call on the name of Jesus Christ. You are seated in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You are raised up with Christ, and you are seated with Christ. Question, where then is Jesus seated? At the right hand of the Father. Is he seated in victory or defeat? Victory, absolutely. Is he seated in authority or in weakness? He's seated in absolute authority. That's your position, and now you have grounds to understand the authority God has called you to walk in your life. As Christians, we're not trying to get the victory. We already have it. Stop trying to get what God already gave you. or you will constantly spend your life chasing your tail. It is impossible to get what you already got. Isn't that right? But why do we beg God for stuff that He's already given us? We fight from a position of victory. However, the devil is a terrorist. Like I said, Kim Jong-un. Maybe we ought to send him this CD. See if one of his missiles can reach Troy. Like a roaring lion. He's a bully, right? He uses intimidation and fear as the strongest weapons. Just like when you're a little kid. I don't know about y'all, but I was one screwed up little kid because of everything I'd been through. And I was very fearful. I mean, I saw Gremlins when it came out. We were supposed to go see the Black Stallion. My mom sent me with the preschool, daycare I was in. Them jokers took a bunch of little children to see the Gremlins. I was one messed up little buck. But I tell you what, I was scared at night. Anybody else, just be honest. You were scared at night when you were a little kid, right? Okay, great. Thanks for all 10 of you who are honest. The rest of you are liars. But that's okay. I forgive you. That's okay because you're still afraid now. But here's the deal. I was scared, man. And you know, it's shadows. It's things that aren't even there and they torment you. And you're looking at it and you think it is Swamp Thing coming out from under your bed. And the next morning you get up and it was like giant bunny foo-foo that Nana had given you 3 Christmases ago. And it was his ear coming out from under the bed, not Swamp Thing's hairy tentacle. Bunny foo-foo tormented you all night long. Am I right? It's ridiculous. Well, it was broken when the lights come on. Thank God that every time we come in here, every time we read His word, the lights are coming on in Jesus' name, and Satan loses his ability to torment you any longer. Can I get an amen tonight? Position. Somebody say position. 3 things Satan wants to distort because he's the deceiver. The first one is position, your position, your place that God has given you in Christ that we've identified. I am seated. I am seated in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Let's say that together. Say, I am seated in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, when you realize your position, you can begin to exercise your power. I've been seated above so that I can stop living beneath. I've been seated above so I don't have to live beneath. First one is position. Satan wants to distort that. The second one is perception. Somebody say perception. He wants to twist your perception. Now, perception is mental image. It is your awareness. It is your ability to comprehend. Satan perverts our perception. When he can no longer get to our position, my position is fixed in Christ. Now he goes after my perception, because if he can throw my perception off, he can still render me ineffective and powerless. And when we realize who we are, then we don't put up with his junk anymore, just like I just said, when the lights come on. It doesn't matter how you feel. It doesn't matter what you think. All that matters is what the Word of God says about who you are and about your situation. Let me try that again. It does not matter what you feel, and it does not matter what you think. All that matters is what God's Word says. I don't mean to, I'm not putting you down or how you feel or think. Those are important things, but they cannot be elevated above God's word in our life. The Bible says he's elevated, he's magnified his word above his name. So I refuse to elevate my feelings and elevate my thoughts and my imaginations above the thoughts of God. Because now I'm making my feelings Lord and my feelings change. I'm making my mind Lord, and my mind, well, I tell you, sometimes I need help with it. Y'all saw me miss it first service Sunday morning. I completely said, all you visiting today, we don't care about you. Sometimes we forget things. Doesn't mean we don't care about you. We love you. But you know what? Sometimes things slip my mind when Marcia's not standing there to hold my hand. But right perception comes from having my mind renewed, reprogrammed on the Word of God. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world. Don't be squeezed into the world's mold. The world is always trying to squeeze me into what they think I ought to look like, talk like, act like, dress like, where I ought to go, what I ought to drive. It says, but instead be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Transformed is the Greek metamorpho. It's where we get the word metamorphosis. What animal undergoes a metamorphosis? No, butterflies don't. Caterpillars do. I don't. What does the butterfly turn into? A caterpillar, though, undergoes metamorphosis and becomes a butterfly. Amen? And so that's exactly what the process of renewing our mind does. When you do this, you begin to see yourself the way God sees you. You begin to think God's thoughts. And when I think God's thoughts, I begin to live God's life. It's very important because now I have the mind of Christ. I don't have it because I said it. I have it because I deposited it. Your mind is going to be renewed on one of two things. Period, the end. The truth of the word or the lies of the enemy, because you're constantly being bombarded with what the devil says you are. He wants to trick you into thinking that you're something other than what God has called you. That's always been his plan. He wants you to have a wrong perception so you cannot see your position in Christ. He is jealous of you. He wants what God gave you, and he knows he can never have it. That's why he's hell-bent on destroying us. If he can get you to see yourself as something other than the man or woman God says you are, then he's got you. If he can tell you you're down when God says you're up, if he can tell you you're the tail when God says you're the head, if he can say you're weak when God says you're strong, if he can say you're poor when God says you're rich, if he can call you worthless and we believe it when God says you're valuable, if he can call you a reject when God said I accept you, if he can call you sinful when God says I declare you're the righteousness of God in Christ, then no matter what you actually are, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So all that matters then is what I believe. There's a difference there. Again, your position has never changed, but your perception has. And through perception, Satan is now robbing you of what's rightfully yours. You've got to know God for who he is. Let me say that again. You got to get to know God for who he is. And there's only one way to do that. I cannot know God through what I have personally experienced. I can only know God through what the Word says. This book declares to me who he is. And the more I receive this book and I walk in what I've learned and I live what I've learned, then I begin to experience the God of these pages, and what I live begins to line up with what God has already said, not the other way around. If we do not do it in that order and maintain that recipe, then we dumb God down to fit our experience. Is this too much for a Wednesday? You still with me? Number three, perspective. Somebody say perspective. That's point of view, okay? Anybody know a drama queen? Right. Maybe you are. That's okay. We still love you. It's fun to be around. Watch. Drama queens. You know the devil is a drama queen. Drama queens blow everything out of proportion. I mean, they just have epic meltdowns for no reason. I'll leave that one alone. Some things you can say, you just shouldn't. He likes to blow things out of proportion. He likes to make real big deal out of real little things. He wants you to get your eyes off the King of Kings, off the Lord of Lords, off the God of the universe who's living on the inside of you. I have a third of the Trinity living in me. And he wants you to get it onto the minute little problems you're facing in life and blow it so far out of proportion until it's the only thing you can see, and your entire life is determined and contained inside of what one ridiculous little issue you got going on. Is that true? And we begin to weigh our value with what we're going through instead of realizing I'm passing through. I'm a pilgrim. I'm looking for a land whose builder and maker isn't from here. Hallelujah. I got a builder for another house in heaven. Amen. I got a place up there that I can't even imagine what it looks like. I got a place in heaven right now. You got a place in heaven right now. And Jesus said he's getting it ready for you. He's a pretty good designer, you know. I love the heat out there right now. Everything's popping. Some of y'all are like, no, I know. That's why you live here. Summer will be over by Saturday. That's okay. I'm going to be on the sunny side of heaven because I come up here with you and spent my life with you. But here's the deal. He's pretty good at designing things. You look around at nature and you just got to be in awe, right? I mean, there's some pretty amazing things in nature. There's a big world out there. And I want to encourage you right now to take as much time as you can. If you got something you want to go do, you go do it. You got somebody you want to go spend some time with, go spend time with them, because they might not be here tomorrow. Tomorrow's promise of no man. Amen. I know we believe for 120. I know we're promised 70. I get all that. But you know, I mean, every day's a gift. Let's make the most of it. Especially, if it, I mean, it's gorgeous out. Go enjoy creation. The more people can get outside, the better. And get off your stinking phone. How do you go to a swimming pool and everybody's on a phone? You used to go to a pool to swim. Anyway, that's another. Let that go. We got to have the right perspective. Satan's defeated. He's under our feet. Jesus has disarmed him, the word of God says. Just as a fun reminder, Revelation 20, verse 10 tells us where everything's going. Revelation 20, 10, it says, the devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and false prophet are, and they will be tormented night and day forever and ever. We know how it ends. We've got the victory in Jesus' name. Amen? We're on the winning side. Keep that in mind no matter what you're going through. Satan belongs under the soles of your feet. I said Satan belongs under the soles of your feet. Everybody slap your soul. Come on, touch it tonight. Satan belongs under the soles of your feet. If he's under your soul, he can't get up in your ear. If he's under your soul, he can't get up in your ear. I mean, put your foot on that sucker's neck and don't let him up. No mercy. Somebody say no mercy. Number two, you're not powerless. You are not powerless. Say, I've got the power. Jesus didn't leave you here powerless to struggle through life. He didn't take off and say, you boys are on your own now. I'll see you when you get to heaven. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. Let's go there. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. It's a great commission, which I am absolutely in love with. It is the mission of my life. It is the mission of your life. It is a co-mission, which means together we share it with God. We can't do it without him. He can't do it without us. Let me just say, too, that next Sunday I've got something really special for you. Messianic Jewish evangelist Jeffrey D. Miller will be here with us. He has a syndicated radio program. He's been in ministry for years and years. Phenomenal. He's going to make some connections for you next Wednesday night that will blow your mind. I promise you, you don't want to miss it. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 says, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me. Somebody say authority. Authority. He's talking about power. All authority or power has been given to me in heaven and on earth. All of it. He's omnipotent. Verse 19, go therefore. Somebody say go. Okay, so the first thing he tells us he gives us is authority. The second thing he tells us he gives us is permission. Go therefore and make disciples, make disciples, make disciples. We are here to make disciples. If we're not making disciples, we're not a church. Make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them. It's a part of the discipleship process in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Thank God for the Trinity. We don't serve three gods. We serve one God that is three distinct persons. Verse 20, teach them to observe all things I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always. I am with you always. I am with you always. Somebody say, he's always with me. So he gives us his power. He gives us his permission. And then he stamps us with his presence. Even to the end of the age, amen. He sends us out in his power. He sends us out in his authority. That authority is available to every born-again believer the moment they are saved. Not just a few, not just the special ones, not church-ordained leaders, not the fivefold ministry gifts, the apostle, the prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. It's available to every single born-again believer. Jesus is passing the baton down to the church. And every generation of the church that passes by, we are handed the baton. It is our time to reach our generation. That's so exciting. I don't look back and mourn and weep and wish I was living in the good old days. This is the good old days, baby. We're making moments today. This is the greatest hour to be alive. God knew you would be on the earth at this moment. He assigned you here. You were born like Esther for such a time as this. Powerful. Jesus passes the baton to us. He said, it's better that I go, Shirley. Why? Because I'll send to you the Holy Spirit. He said he's going to help you. We are ambassadors. Somebody say, I'm an ambassador. An ambassador is an official agent with a special mission. That's you. You're God's representatives here on earth. That must explain why some people in church sneak around. Special agents. You're God's representatives here on earth. Jesus said, I give you my authority. Authority is delegated power. Delegated power. Power that's given to us. Jesus has delegated that power to you and me. That means our hands are his hands. Our mouth, Jason, is his mouth. My ears get to listen for him. My wallet is... Oh, thank you for that one person who agreed with me. My wallet is his wallet because everything I am as a person and everything I have should be available for his use at any given moment. Isn't that right? I need another hour. Authority. Somebody say authority. Okay, authority. The ability or strength with which one is endued. Power of authority. It is the power of ones whose will and commands must be obeyed by others. The power of one whose will and commands must be obeyed by others. I love that because that means when I speak in the name of Jesus, what I say has to be done. Powerful. You think about policemen with a badge. 80,000 pounds of steel running down the highway, an 18-wheeler. Policeman steps out in front of it with nothing on but a really sharp uniform and a shiny little piece of tin. Raises up his hand, got a tin whistle in his mouth, tweet! 80,000 pounds comes to a stop. Who has more power? Well, in the natural, thank you, the truck. I mean, I promise you. But that truck recognizes the authority behind the badge, Nate. And he says, I'm going to stop because I know that if I mow him, there's a bunch of other ones just like him. Right? Can I tell you that even though that policeman is no match, and I thank God for our men and women in blue, amen? Can you give God praise for them today? Make sure you support law enforcement. Support law enforcement. Do not sow seeds of rebellion. Support law enforcement even when you don't agree. Show them respect even if they pulled you over and they shouldn't have. Amen? Support law enforcement. Anyway, the point is that officer, no matter how weak he feels in comparison to that truck, he knows and he has confidence that he can stop that thing. Well, that's like you and I in Jesus' name. We feel weak. We feel like there are things coming barreling down at us sometimes that have so much more power than we do. But can I tell you, all of heaven stands behind you. All of heaven backs you. I don't think we think about that nearly enough. Jesus said, when I name you my child, I make you an heir and a joint heir. You got an equal part in this thing with me. And Jesus said, if you saw me do it, I'm going to let you do it. And a few things even bigger than what I did. I'm looking for them bigger things. We've done some big things. Here's the lies the devil wants to tell me. You've done pretty good. Why don't you just stop here? Why don't you just camp out here? Nobody'd say anything about it. I'm looking for greater things. We're a part of something great. Can you say amen? Amen. Jesus said the harvest is great. You're a part of something great right now. He said greater things than these shall you do. How about the name of Jesus? Somebody say the name of Jesus. It's one of the greatest weapons we have. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. Therefore, God has highly exalted him, or exalted Jesus, and given him the name which is above every name. What is that name? Jesus. That at the name of Jesus. I don't think you can say it enough. Every knee should bow. Every knee should bow. Well, that's an acknowledgement of authority. Of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Can I tell you that every single person, both living and dead, is going to confess Jesus as Lord. The difference is whether you do it in this life or in the next. You decide, but I promise you'll bow no matter how tough a nut you are. We get to decide. You do it in this life and it comes with a reward. You do it in that life, and it comes with eternal retribution. But the name of Jesus is so powerful, and we have the name of Jesus that God has given us to use. We have the name of Jesus to cast out demons. We have the name of Jesus to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to speak in tongues, to take authority in our families and our finances over the situations that we're dealing with. And when we don't know what else to do, call on the name of Jesus. Psalm 46:1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. The Bible says the name of the Lord is a strong tower. Those who run to it shall be saved. John 14:12-14, Jesus said, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, not just the first 12 apostles. Are there any believers in the house tonight? Can I hear you? He said to us, all the way down, passing the baton, that the works he did, we will do also, and greater works than these we will do. Why? Because he goes to the Father, and he says, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. I come to tell you tonight, if you've been asking God for something, don't be discouraged because it hasn't showed up. Don't let delay turn into doubt. I come to tell you that the word of God is true, and it has already been settled in heaven. And it is yes and amen. And my job is to cling to the promise and not abort it before it shows up. I must give birth to the promises of God through the birth canal of my faith. Hallelujah. And sometimes giving birth is painful in the process. Sometimes it's uncomfortable. There is a gestation period where the seed must incubate with the egg on the inside of me and grow to the point when my body says it's time to show up. The spirit realm is impregnated with the prayers of God's people, and God is looking for you to keep watering it by faith, to keep speaking those things that be not as though they were, to keep praising God that it's already done. I believe I receive when I asked in Jesus' name, and I have the things that I've asked for in the mighty name of Jesus. And can I tell you, the sky will open and God will release to you that thing in his perfect timing. Hallelujah. Numbers 23:19, God's not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Has he said and will he not do? Has he spoken and will he not make it good? Behold, I have received a command to bless. He has blessed, and I cannot reverse it. Hallelujah. God has blessed you and Satan can't reverse it. Your in-law can't reverse it. Your spouse can't reverse it. Your boss can't reverse it. Hallelujah. Our government can't reverse it. He has pronounced me blessed. I am the blessed of the Lord. I am a child of God. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord, I change not. He didn't say it to the first century church and then decide to change his mind later on. We shouldn't be seeing less today than they saw then. We expect greater things today. Why? Because Hebrews 13:8, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. You got a big God. You still got a miracle working God. You still got a Jesus who stops by people who are oppressed and lifts their heads up and their countenances and encourages them and blesses them and meets needs everywhere he goes and reaches people who are bound and sets them free. And he's living in me. And everywhere I go and I interact with those kind of people, I should expect to see God do the same things in and through my life. Somebody say, I have the power. It's on us to carry on the mission, the message, and the ministry Jesus started until Jesus comes back. Has Jesus come back? I believe he is coming back, but has he come back yet? The apostles stood there. Acts chapter 1. Jesus is arisen from the dead. It's days and days after Easter Sunday. And he ascends into heaven. They're standing there gazing up into the sky. A couple angels appear and they say, this same Jesus that you saw go will so come in like manner. The same way you saw him go up, he's coming down. Jesus is coming back. Until he does, our marching orders are clear. Until he does, our assignment is clear. Until he does, there's a storm coming and there's a harvest to get into the barn. Amen? We've got work to do. Somebody say, I have the power. Mark 16, verse 15, here's what it says. And he said to them, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. These signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons, still for today. They'll speak in new tongues. Look, the world is fascinated by demonic oppression and possession. Just watch your TV. You see it everywhere. There are so many of them shows out there. The world believes it more than the church. I'm telling the truth. Verse 18. Look, if you ever come across one, don't be afraid. You have the power, and don't talk to it. I command you in the name of Jesus, come out. Be gone. Talk to it like a dog. And these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They'll cast out demons. They'll speak with new tongues. Thank God for speaking in tongues. Verse 18, they'll take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it'll by no means hurt them. They'll lay hands on the sick, and what'll happen? What'll happen? They'll get better. They'll start to amend at that moment. I love that. That's powerful. We shouldn't be running from the devil. He ought to be running from us. The devil shouldn't have us under his thumb. We ought to have him under ours. That's a gut check moment for some of us. Which one are you? Who's chasing who? Because the Bible says in James chapter 4, 7, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and what will he do? He will flee from you. If somebody broke into my house tonight, I guarantee you I'd show them resist real fast. There's two stadies on duty every night in Bradford County. And I know that he can't make it from where he is to me that fast. So between Jesus and my XDM 9mm, we'll be okay. No, but here's the reality, y'all. My point is resisting. If somebody comes into your house tonight, you're going to resist. With whatever you got to do, you're going to protect your family, right? You don't stop and go, oh, hey, Slick, you forgot the TV. Go on, get it. But why is it when the devil breaks in and steals and kills and destroys, we're like, oh, I don't know what to do. Just take it. Right? We take authority over him in the name of Jesus, 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 in the name of Jesus. Every demon must flee. In the name of Jesus, Satan himself must bow. In the name of Jesus, depression has to go, and cancer must be removed, and fevers must break, and sickness must be healed. In the name of Jesus, fear is dispelled, and faith comes alive. In the name of Jesus, I erase the anxiety, and I release God's peace, but I must take authority. It is available, but it is not automatic. We must rebuke him in Jesus' name. And the Bible says that when you begin to do that in verse 19, Mark 16, 19, it says, so after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working what? With them. The Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. I can't do his part, but he won't do mine. It is a co-mission. And so together we can do incredible things for Christ. Can you say amen tonight? I said together we are doing incredible things for Christ tonight. It's already happening. Just look around you. Lives are being transformed. Well, did you get anything out of the word tonight?